Good morning.
Good morning.
Welcome, Baptist Christian Church. Today, if you're visiting with us, fill out one of those white cards in front of you and put in the offering plate so we'll have information on your attendance today. Also, if you look there in your bulletin, down here the church is wanting to purchase t-shirts, and it tells what, why, who, and when. All the reasons there. If you have any good ideas of something that we could put on the t-shirts, let Lindsay Lefford know that. It's got her email address there. You can email her. Also, if you look there at our offering us today, we're still doing well. So we just continue to pray about that, and we appreciate everything that God does for our church. Opportunities for this week. Today at 10:45, we have Sunday school for all ages. We encourage you to stay today for Sunday school, and then we're having a fellowship dinner. If you forgot to bring something or never brought something with you, there's always plenty of food, so we encourage you to stay and fellowship with us. And also at 12:30 is our quarterly business meeting, and it's very important that you're there today. We're talking on the main topic will be the trustees have more information now on the what possibly may be our building opportunities we have, either building a new building or redoing the old building. So we encourage everyone to be here for that. And then also tonight at 7 o'clock is Deacons Elders Meeting. Wednesday night at 6:30 is prayer meeting and Bible study. Thursday night from 6 to 7:30 is the Crusaders Teens. Also, if you haven't signed up for Easter breakfast, you can still do that today. And also, if you would like to purchase an Easter lily, there's an insert there in your bulletin. Fill that out and give that to Pastor Rich this morning. And also in the nursery, you can read there on the nursery workers are needing help. A lot of the parents with kids are having to be in there every Sunday, and they'd like to be able to be in the service also. So if we could get other people to do that, so it'd give them the opportunity to be in here. And then also, Vocational Bible School is already not far around the corner, June 11th and 15th. So there's a sign-up sheet for that also. And then, of course, next week is Easter, and we encourage everyone to be here for that. And the bulletin tells all the details of what's going on there. I got a couple of thank yous here. Our thanks to each of you for your prayers, support, visit, flowers, food, and friendship during our loss. The strength we gained from our church family, friends, and family alone with our God's love is helping us each day and every day. Thank you, and God bless Pam, Kelly McGee and family, Kyle Schroeder and family. Thank you for the many prayers, cards, and planners. I am so pleased to be a member of this church and have friends like you, Jack Pentland. The memory verse for this week, and you can pick these up in the foyer, is 1 John 4:10. This is love, not that we loved God, but that he loved us and sent his son as an atoning sacrifice for our sins. Thank you.
Good morning. Good to see you here this morning. We're glad that you're here to worship and just be a part of this time with the Lord. Aren't you glad you're not traveling for spring break? Linda went back with Jamie. She was home for some appointments, and they called me and said they got to Louisville and hit a traffic jam and finally got out of it at Birmingham, Alabama. Wow. And so speed was not an issue. I said, what a great time to be me. God is good. I'm glad that we're here. Hey, you can see everything that's going on, and just be a part of much of that you can. David says, praise the Lord. How good it is to sing praises to our God. How pleasant and fitting to praise him. The Lord builds up Jerusalem, and he gathers the exiles of Israel. He heals the brokenhearted and binds up their wounds. He determines the number of stars and calls them each by name. Great is our Lord and mighty in power. His understanding has no limits. Psalm 147, the first five verses. What a great God we serve. Let's bow in prayer, ask him to minister to us. Let's pray together. Eternal Father, the great God of heaven, the author and finisher of our salvation, the sustainer of all creation, thank you for giving us this opportunity to worship and for all that you have done for us in this past week. Thank you for the privilege of gathering in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. And we know that where two or three are gathered, that he is there. And we thank you that you are here in the presence of the Holy Spirit, that you are here in your word. And we pray, our Father, that in this hour you and you alone will have absolute sovereignty to all that is said and done, and to the control of our hearts, and open them to the word of God and speak to our hearts. We thank you for all that you have given us, and especially for the privilege of sharing our tithes and offerings. We give them to you with a cheerful heart, and we look forward to what you'll be doing with it and the way you'll be furthering your kingdom here on earth. Our Father, we dedicate this service to you in the mighty saving name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen.
Everybody, please stand for the reading of the word. Today's scripture will be from 1 Peter chapter 4, verses 12 through 16. Dear friends, do not be surprised at the painful trial you are suffering, as though something strange were happening to you, but rejoice that you participate in the sufferings of Christ, so that you may be overjoyed when his glory is revealed. If you are insulted because of the name of Christ, you are blessed, for the Spirit of glory and of God rests on you. If you suffer, it should not be as a murderer or a thief or any other kind of criminal or even as a meddler. However, if you suffer as a Christian, do not be ashamed, but praise God that you bear the name. Thank you.
You bow with me in prayer, please. Our Father in heaven, thank you for these moments in worship, in praise. And thank you now for this time where we can be quiet before you and let you minister to us through your word. Thank you that you have given to us an inerrant, infallible word that is all truth, that we can always trust it. Thank you, Father, for making us able to understand. I would ask in this hour and in these moments that you would minister to us in such a way that it would change our lives. Help us to understand this doctrine of suffering. Help us, Father, as we think of the fact that 2,000 years ago, the Lord Jesus Christ began his trip to Jerusalem for the last time. And he went to suffer for us as we can never suffer. And we thank you for the great grace, the great mercy, the infinite love that brought all that about. Thank you, Father, for calling us to be your children. And I pray that you will speak to our hearts today as only you can do. I ask that the Spirit of God be given sovereign liberty. Pray, Father, for all of those this morning that are bearing burdens. And I pray that you will meet those needs. You know so very well what's going on in our hearts, even to the motives and intents of our hearts. And so we ask that you will bring the comfort or the encouragement, even conviction. We pray, Father, that you will meet us and speak to our hearts. And we would ask that right now you would help us examine ourselves honestly before you and see if there would be anything in us that would keep us from meeting you at the table and sharing in this most holy of ordinances. So, Father, we pray that you will have the freedom to minister to us as you know is right. In Jesus' name, amen. If I could ask you, how many of you in some part of your life are suffering right now? Probably in some way or another, we'd all raise our hands, wouldn't we? We can say suffering is familiar to us, and we do it. I told you a while back that the only way to get over fear is to die. Well, the only way to get over suffering or not suffer or quit is to die. Interesting, isn't it? One of the most heinous fallacies of the current easy believism, feel-good gospel, this heresy that is being preached about love God and all is well, is that with that teaching goes the idea that if you're suffering, you're doing something wrong. Because if you're walking with the Lord and if everything is fine, then God would not dare allow suffering to touch your lives. Beloved, listen to me. That is heresy right out of hell. The New Testament gives us several reasons why we as Christians suffer. And the doctrine of suffering is something that permeates Scripture from Eden until the judgment seat. And even at the judgment seat, there's going to be some suffering because everything has to be made right there. It's after that that it's all taken away. The doctrine of suffering could be summed up by saying that it helps a good person become a better person. It can also help a bad person, somebody who's unsaved, turn to the Lord. Or it can, like it did in the case of Pharaoh and other examples through Scripture, harden their hearts toward God. Today, I want to share with you how we suffer. In a few weeks, we're going to look at why we suffer. But today I want you to have a handle on how we suffer, and I think if you'll just take a few notes, it will really help you in your Christian walk. We start with the infinite sufferings of Christ. Well, I'll tell you what. There is a technical problem, and I've tried everything I know to try, so it's over my head. I'm IT impaired. So we'll forget it, and you'll write it down just like we used to do in the old days, huh? The infinite sufferings of Christ. The infinite sufferings of Christ. No other human being will ever suffer the way the Lord Jesus Christ did when he offered himself and freed us from sin on every level. He suffered first of all from the Father. There's a familiar passage that we've been to a couple of times in 2 Corinthians chapter 5, and it says this, beginning in verse 16, "From now on we regard no one from a worldly point of view. Though once we regarded Christ in this way, we do so no longer. Therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. The old has gone, the new has come. All of this is from God, who reconciled us to himself through Christ and gave us the ministry of reconciliation. That God was reconciling the world to himself in Christ, not counting men's sins against them. And he has committed us to the message of reconciliation. We are therefore Christ's ambassadors, as though we were making his appeal through Christ, and we implore you on Christ's behalf, be reconciled to God. God made him who knew no sin to be sin for us, that so in him we might become the righteousness of God. The key is in those last two verses. God made Christ to become sin. You and I will never fully understand how and what Christ suffered from the Father because of our sin. It's hard for us to consider or even think about the idea or concept of all the wrath of God, all the hatred of God toward sin. No person can ever share in that kind of suffering. Listen, there was suffering that Christ experienced from God the Father to God the Son that you and I cannot experience. We can never handle it. And pouring out all of our sin on him is part of that. We would not want to share in the way Christ suffered. But we ought, however, to thank him daily that he suffered. And we ought never forget that even though we can't understand it, he suffered terribly for you and I. Now, Christ also suffered, second, number two, he suffered from men or from the human race. That's you and I. Now, in these sufferings, we do participate or share in sufferings from one another, just like Christ did. And that's where I want to focus this morning. And in order to do that, we're going to look at a couple of things. And so we're considering the inherent sufferings of Christ first, things that he suffered we cannot suffer. And so the second thing, the second point is the inherent sufferings of the Christian. The inherent sufferings of the Christian. I'm going to go to John chapter 15, and I'm going to read in verse 18. Listen carefully. If the world hates you, keep in mind that it hated me first. If you belong to the world, it would love you as its own. As it is, you do not belong to the world, but I have chosen you out of the world, and that is why the world hates you. All true Christians suffer. It doesn't make any difference how godly you are. It doesn't make any difference how long you spend in devotions. It doesn't make any difference how spiritually mature you are or how Christ-like you are in your daily walk. No matter what, in this life, Christians are going to suffer. And you and I need to understand something. Because of what Christ suffered, we are somewhat protected. God will only allow us to suffer what we're able to bear when we're walking with the Lord. Now, if you're not walking with the Lord, if you're living a life contrary to what he says, then that verse doesn't apply. God will put whatever load on you he needs to put on you to break your spirit of rebellion. But even if you're walking with the Lord, you're going to suffer to some degree. And sooner or later, we're all going to suffer in the same way. People sometimes use this idea of suffering. The unsaved will say this: I've got enough trouble of my own. I'm suffering enough now. Why would I want to become a Christian and watch what you... I've watched. You people or I feel bad for you. Listen carefully. Those unsaved people who say that have no idea that their suffering hasn't even begun. Now listen carefully. God poured out all his anger and wrath on Christ for every human being. We understand that, don't we? But I want to tell you something that's very dangerous, and you can use this in your witness. It is a showstopper. All of that grace and the mercy of salvation that is offered to the entire human race, anybody, anywhere, anytime, can be saved. The protection that God offers from the suffering that he poured out on Christ only applies to Christians. When the unsaved are condemned at the great white throne judgment, when they're cast into hell forever, listen carefully, for all eternity, they will then experience, because of their constant rejection of Christ, they will experience in hell forever all that same wrath God poured out on Christ. You say, that's a contradiction. No, it's not. It is effective to those who accept by faith the work of Christ. It was the redeeming work. If you don't accept it, it doesn't apply to you. That's why we need to be very clear when we talk to our unsaved friends to help them understand that the current easy believism and God loves everybody and wouldn't send anybody to hell is a, pardon the word, crock. It's wrong. It's heresy. They're going to suffer like they can't imagine, and they're going to suffer forever. You see, our redemption paid the price. We talked about that when we talked about redemption. Then we talked about how, because of the redemption, reconciliation changes our position from being an enemy to a child of God. The propitiation that we talked about the last few weeks makes everything calm because the anger has been taken away, the price has been paid. All of that only applies if you go to Calvary on your knees and say, God, be merciful to me, a sinner, and save me. Does that make sense? Are you with me? You see, here's the thing. God is totally just. If God does not punish those who reject his son with the full punishment of sin, he's not just. He's contradicting his own word. He told Adam and Eve, eat off that tree and you'll die forever. And so if God says, well, you know what? That's okay. You gave it your best shot. He's not only unjust, but you and I are being ripped off too. You see, what we're suffering now is as bad as it's going to get. Because it's going to end one day. We are all going to suffer the same thing at some point in our life. There are only so many ways we can be tempted. And Satan is going to get around to all of them sooner or later. And that's why it's important for you and I to understand this. Listen carefully. Nowhere in Scripture is there a doctrine that says you have to suffer alone. I've said before, this ought to be our safe haven. If ever there was a place, and if ever there was a people that Christians ought to be able to come to and say, I am suffering with my thought life. I'm struggling with my ambitions toward worldliness. I am caught in this cycle of rebellion. and I need your help. It ought to be here. And that doctrine is taught clearly throughout the entirety of the New Testament. And you see, we've fallen prey to Satan's deception by thinking this, and we've been convinced. If I share a spiritual need, it is a sign of weakness. If I tell somebody that I'm doing something wrong and that everything isn't peachy keen all the time, they're going to think bad of me. That's dumb. See, Satan has won because we're struggling alone, we're suffering alone, we're fighting alone. And God knows that's not going to work. That's why he gave us family. What are some reasons that we suffer as Christ suffered because of other people? Number one, we suffer because to be a child of God makes us an enemy of the world. To be a child of God makes us an enemy of the world. I've given you several scriptures on your outline there, and that number one under the second point. Those scriptures will all tell you that if you're a child of God, you're an enemy of the world in some way. You can be a tenant, or you can be a member of almost any other religion in the world, and somebody will say, oh, that's cool. Well, I'm a Buddhist. Oh, okay, that's cool. Well, I'm Islamic. Okay, oh. Hey, I follow Confucius. Oh, so you are confused. Okay? But say this. I'm a Christian. I'm a true born-again child of God. And what's the reaction you get? Oh, you're weird, aren't you? Why? It's a passage I read out of John 15. You see, Christ came into the world and the world hated him. Why? Not because of who he was, but because of what he did. He exposed sin as sin. And so the world hates him. And when you say, I am a born-again Christian, I am a child of God, you are an instant enemy with the world. And by the way, if you look at that John 15 passage carefully in those two verses, it says this, the world hates you. Keep in mind that it hated me first. If you belong to the world, it would love you as its own. As it is, you do not now belong to the world. I have chosen you out of the world now. That is why the world hates you now. That's all present tense. It's going on right now. If the world, now listen. If you say, I'm a Christian, and the world can't or doesn't hate you, there's a contradiction. We've come up with a flaw. We found a problem. Listen. As born-again Christians, as children of God, we are born as residents or part of this world. We're born dead in trespasses and sin, right? That's okay? We agree with that. Good. This is yes, this is no, this is meh. This is, I'm praying for you. Now, as long as we're unsaved, we're cool. We're in. We belong to the world. But the instant you get saved, you become an enemy of the world. And listen carefully. You don't have to tell anybody you got saved. If only you and God know you got saved, Satan knows it too because he heard the prayer. And he is instantly on your case because now you are his enemy. So you see, you're either an enemy of God or an enemy of the world. And the question you have to ask yourself is this. Because I am an eternal being, because once my soul was conceived... By the way, do you believe that life begins that life begins when the egg and the sperm meet, right? That's life begins, okay? That's the beginning of the soul, okay? Well, I need for you to know that it happened even before that. It happened in eternity past in God's mind. You've been there forever. It just all came to fruition in that. And when you die, the worms don't eat you. Your body's the only thing that dies. The soul is eternal. And so the question that you have to ask yourself is, do I want to suffer now as a Christian, whatever the world throws at me, and then when I succumb to physical death, when my body dies, it's over? Or do I choose to be arrogant here and refuse to accept Christ as my Savior and suffer in hell forever? Huh? Now listen carefully, and listen, all you young people. You might think, oh man, this poor old guy, he's gone off the edge already. Huh? I don't care, but I want you to know this. Teenage years do not guarantee you immortality. You can die today. You need to understand that. I'm not trying to scare you, I'm just telling the facts, right? Any of us can die today. And you know what? You don't want to wait one heartbeat too long to make sure you belong to Christ, no matter what you have to suffer in this world. And you're going to suffer for no other reason than you're a Christian. Understand? Are you with me? Number two, we're going to suffer because our daily sanctification makes us enemies. Our daily sanctification makes us enemies. Satan knew that if he could get Jesus to sin just once in any area, salvation became impossible. Listen. There was no plan B. In the councils of the Godhead in eternity past, when God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit planned salvation, nobody ever said, now if that doesn't work, we'll do this. So you see, all Satan had to do was get Jesus to sin one time, and the human race is forever condemned to hell. And Satan came at Jesus in every possible way, in every part of daily living, in every possible emotion. He came at him through the religious leaders. He came at him through his own people. He even came at him through his own family, just to get him to sin. And almost everything Jesus said and did was challenged or criticized or condemned by someone somewhere. Ever feel like that? Every day of our lives as God's adopted children, the Holy Spirit working in us is going to make a serious effort to influence us to allow God to do as much as possible in transforming us into the image of Christ. Satan knows that. And he makes a serious effort to keep us
from following the Lord, to keep us from making the decisions we know we need to make. The mental and emotional battle can sometimes be real suffering, can't it? We all know that. We've been there. Even if you and God are the only two that know your suffering, listen. It is Satan that causes the suffering. He's the one that makes sure we suffer both mentally and emotionally every day we're alive. Our sufferings are often more internal than external, aren't they? We keep them to ourselves, don't we? Why? Nobody wants to listen to a crybaby. Huh? Nobody wants to hear somebody that's weak. I don't want to hear anybody else bellyache, do you? Okay, so you're having a tough time. Who isn't? That's the point. We're all in this together. The only way that you're not going to suffer from Satan is to follow Satan. Listen, if you're a Christian and you follow Satan, God is going to open those doors and you're going to suffer. And I'll tell you why and how that works a little bit down the road. But beloved, what I want you to see right here, right now, is that if you say in your heart, I am going to walk with the Lord, I am going to be as much like Christ as I can, I'm going to learn what I can learn, if that decision alone will cause you to suffer. And it's not your fault, it's that Satan is against you. Satan doesn't want that to happen. Now listen, here's another way that that works. Satan has convinced the unsaved people of this. And how often do you hear it? Oh, you just messed up. I thought you were a Christian. And if you're a Christian, you're supposed to be perfect. Huh? Ever hear that? Oh, my goodness, you're a Christian. You did something wrong. You're either a hypocrite or a liar. Which is it? We are not yet perfect, but we are right now forgiven. We'll be perfect someday, not now. And you see, beloved, when we get caught like that and we mess up in front of somebody and they say, oh, hey, I thought you were a Christian. You're not supposed to be doing so. Are you really? You know what they've said to you? You see, you think you're being criticized. Here's what they've said to you. Please explain to me the way God's salvation really works. Help me understand. And what an opportunity when somebody says that to you, what an opportunity for you to say, you know what? You're right. I shouldn't. But you know, as a Christian, I'm not yet perfect. I still sin. Even though I'm saved, I still sin. I don't mean to. I do. It is God's love and His grace and His mercy that helps me through it. I don't get kicked out just because I messed up. I do feel bad about it. Could I share with you how accepting Christ as your Savior would open some new doors for you? See, take their criticism and turn it into a witness opportunity to share Christ. Until we get to heaven, we're going to suffer in our daily lives no matter what. Listen carefully. Don't give up. Because Jesus won the war, He will give you the strength to win the battle. The third reason that we suffer is an interesting reason. Number three, we suffer to be glorified with Christ in heaven. We suffer to be glorified with Christ in heaven. I'm going to read from Romans chapter 8, beginning in verse 12. Therefore, brothers, we have an obligation, but it is not to this sinful nature to live according to it. For if we live according to the sinful nature, you'll die. But if by the Spirit you put to death the misdeeds of the body, you will live, because those who are led by the Spirit of God are the sons of God. You did not receive a spirit that makes you a slave again to fear. And that verse hooks to the memory verse we had, I think it was last week, Galatians 5:1. It is for freedom Christ has set us free. He says this same thing. Stand firm then, and do not let yourselves become entangled again in a yoke of slavery. It's the same concept. We cry, Abba, Father. The Spirit Himself testifies that we're the Spirit, or we're the children of God. Now listen, if we're children of God, then we're heirs. We are heirs of God and co-heirs with Christ. Listen carefully. If indeed we share in His sufferings, in order that we may also share in His glory. Isn't that amazing? The verses that we read today out of 1 Peter give us that same thought. For whatever reason, God has chosen that suffering here with Christ is the only possible means to being glorified with Him in heaven. Now, it's God's program of delayed gratification. And that idea runs against the grain everything our culture's about, isn't it? I want it now. I want it all. And I want it. Huh? And God says, wait for it. Wait for it. It'll be worth more in heaven. In Matthew chapter 5, verses 10 through 12, Jesus says, as Christians, we're going to suffer for righteousness' sake. Listen carefully. You're not going to suffer if you're obnoxious, but you're going to suffer if you're doing it the right way. I used to work with a man. I think he was probably the first guy that ever shared the plan of salvation with me. Worked in a machine shop. And this man was sold out. I mean, he really lived for Christ. But you know what? He beat all of us over the head. Every time we did anything, he was right there to tell us we're going to go to hell for that. And it was kind of like beating us over the head with the Bible. Because of that, he was ridiculed. The guys made fun of him. All of us did. You know what? I felt kind of bad for him. But he was obnoxious. And Christ says, that's not what I'm talking about. But if you live it the right way, you're going to suffer for it. And so the point is this. You'll suffer for no other reason than you're a Christian. And when a Christian allows the Holy Spirit to lead them in the transformation process, listen, it is both a witness to the world and a witness against the world. It is a witness to the world that God's plan of salvation really works in a human life. It is a witness against them that sin and sinfulness is just as real and is dead wrong. Part of the good news is that God doesn't hold all the reward till we get to heaven. When you and I allow God to be God and lead us, we can experience peace. We can experience the blessings and benefits of salvation, guidance, and all those things here, right now. We get to experience the rewards for putting Him first. You see, this doctrine of suffering is one of the oxymorons of Christianity. Oxymorons, putting two opposites together like jumbo shrimp or government intelligence. Okay? Be careful now. See? The more we suffer for righteousness' sake here, the more the world hates us and rejects us and condemns us. And at the same time that's going on, while we're suffering, it gives God the opportunity to lay up in heaven for us crowns and rewards and responsibilities in heaven. When we finally get there, and all that God has prepared for us, the blessings will be so ginormously magnanimous. That's a theological term that means really big. And it will cause us to think with Paul, as he wrote in Romans chapter 8, verses 18, when he says, I reckon that the sufferings of this world are not worth comparing to the glory that will be revealed in us. So I want you to understand that today, some of the suffering that you're experiencing is for no other reason than you're a Christian. Some of the suffering that you're experiencing today is the same suffering that Christ experienced. And it is because of his suffering that we remember what he did. It did not come cheap. So when you think the world is against you and trying to beat you into the ground just because you're alive, remember this. It is against you, and it is trying to beat you into the ground, but it is not doing that because you're alive. Listen, the world is trying to destroy you because you are alive in Christ. And so take heart. We suffer because we call ourselves Christians. Our Father in heaven, we thank you for this time together before you. We thank you that you have been gracious to tell us that not all suffering is because of our shortcomings, but much of it is just because we love you and we are your children. And so we pray as we go this week that we will remember that you will visit us many times and that you will encourage and strengthen us. But Father, also that you will remind us that where we are walking apart from you, that we need to return. It is our privilege to go now into the mission field to which you've assigned us and be about the works that you have prepared for us. Our Father, we love you and we thank you for all of this in Jesus' mighty name. Amen.